Welcome to New Realities with Alan Steinfeld, and this program is an ongoing series into how the planet is changing, how people are opening up to new realities, and how a new presence is really filling the consciousness of this planet. I have two people on the line who are very much into this evolution of consciousness. They've been guests here before, and I'm very happy they are back again with the latest in the worlds they're researching. That is Nancy Talbert of BLT Research and Robert Vandenbroek in Holland. Welcome, both of you.
Hi. Thank you for having us, Alan.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you always. You're always guests here. The reason I think it's important to have you back at this time is, first, for people who haven't heard Nancy, I'll introduce her. She's been a top crop circle researcher for the last, I would say, 20 years, and she has scientific tests, and she is one of the people that have brought through the legitimacy of the phenomena when many people have just written it off. And along the way, she's met my other guest, Robert Vandenbroek, who is an amazing visionary, psychic, medium, intuitive, who's, I feel, accessing a higher dimension. So between the two of them, it should be very interesting. So right now, to catch us up to date, there's been a bunch of crop circles in Holland this year, 2011, and there haven't been that many spectacular crop circles happening in the usual place in Wiltshire County. Nancy, why don't you talk about this sort of shift in the energetics of the crop circle phenomena?
Well, there have been eight quite marvelous crop circles in southern Holland, right around Robert, this year. And they're quite elaborate and getting bigger. But I think the main thing that's different is that the focus in Holland, particularly from Robert, but also from other people there who pay attention to the circles, the people there seem to be aware and remembering that the nature of the phenomenon, it's no business there. There's nobody making money from it. There's no effort to capitalize on it. And the essential meaning behind it, which is, of course, what is the most important thing, and that Robert is in touch with, this consciousness from elsewhere that not only creates the crop circles, but also does all these other things. And the first circle this year is a beautiful example of the combinations of things that go on. It happened at Easter, which is a very important time for Robert and for me too. And just before Easter, on Thursday, before Easter, he started to feel like he usually does when a circle's getting ready to happen. Why don't you tell Robert what happened on Thursday and then what happened on Good Friday?
Yes,
and then we'll
yes.
get to the circle itself and what happened again on Sunday night.
Yes, of course, I will tell that. Thank you that you give us the space that we can tell something about the things that are happening around me.
No, this is very important, Robert, that the world, everyone should know about what's happening. So I'm very happy to give this space.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I was having the day before Good Friday, I was driving on my motorbike to the fields, by the fields where things happening in Boschenhoofd and Woodenhead and by the nature places. And I was feel, in 1 second, I was feel very, very strong. And that sounds maybe strange for some people, but I was feel very strong the presence of and the love of God, of the white light, if you will, how you will call it. And I was feel very strong in my deepest in the deepest place for my soul, I was feel very strong the suffering from Jesus Christ when he was when they was hang him on the cross, and I was feel very strong that it was very important that people must know that that was not by accident happening, that it was, but that it was having a reason for the people, that it must open the eyes from the people, that they must let God, of how you will call it, it have many names, but that you let come the spiritual nature close by your soul, and many people are afraid for it, and they close themselves. And in this material world, with money and with lots of business, people forget the spiritual nature. And I was feel the pain from God on that moment, that lots of people don't let him come in the souls from the people, that many people don't pay attention to them intuitions, and the intuition is the voice of the human creator, and many people don't pay attention to it. And the intuition is the relation from God that he will have with people. And I was feel the sadness of that moment, the pain from the higher dimension, and tears was rolling over my face. And I was crying, and it was, there was not mine tears, it was tears from out the other dimension. And then I was feel me very still, very quiet in my inside, and feel that there was something, that there is something going on, and that something will be happen very quick. And that was the experience before Good Friday.
And so, I mean, partly some of what you said is that Good Friday, Easter is a chance for us to feel more strongly this connection to Jesus. Is this partly?
Well, it's a time when Robert in particular is aware of it. And, you know, some people Easter is very special to. Right. And it happens that it is for him. And when he was out on his bike, he was, you know, he knew something was happening. And he thought maybe a circle, which was he was out looking. And he didn't find one that night. And he came back home. And it was the next night, Good Friday night, that that he started to get a very clear feeling of a different presence. And he then took some very interesting photographs. And for your listeners, this report is posted on the BLT website, which is just bltresearch.com. And then you go /Robert, that's R-O-B-B-E-R-T, and you will get to Robert's page, and then at the bottom you'll see all these different reports. And there's one that has what I call a Chihuahua bunny, and if you open that, you can read this whole report of what happened on Friday. And I don't remember for sure, Robert, did you go back again out on Friday? Or were you only in your home when you started to feel the presence of this other person?
Yes, I was in the afternoon on Good Friday. I was go with my mother to the special field where I have where. Yes, the special field is the field where I have for the first time where I was seeing for the first time that the crop circle was forming with light bulbs. That was the first time in my life that I was have seen that there years and years ago. And I was going to that field with my mother out of respect around 3 o'clock to think on lots of people. They need help and send them positive energy. And I was make pictures there, but there was coming nothing on the picture. And then we go to home, and I was put my camera in my practice room and don't pay too much attention, and also don't will too hard that something is happening, when that's then the energy is blockade. And then in the evening, I was walking back to the practice room, and I was taking my camera, and I was watching if there was something appeared on the camera, but I was see nothing. And then I was starting to make pictures in the practice room, and I was feel very strong, very emotional and very strong presence of somebody. And that was, for me, I was recognized that energy. One, the last weeks, I was think many times on Saint Francis, and he was some teacher in the past, and some mysticus, and for lots of people later when he was dying, a holy person. But I was fascinating about him. He was people describe that he was talking with animals, and I love animals very strong. Mm-hmm. And the sweetness from animals is so beautiful. People can learn so much from animals. And he was talking with animals, and the animals was sitting on him and come by him, and they was feel the energy. Because I was fascinating by Saint Francis, and I was feel on that moment on Good Friday the same energy in my practice room. And I was starting to make pictures, and there was coming a message in my head that it is very important that people must know that animals have consciousness, and they have the same rights as the humans, and that there is a big mistake going on the world, that people think that they are more than animals, that they are arrogant from the humans, and that animals have the same rights, and they're living also forever. They have also souls. Mm-hmm. And that people must learn that. And I was make pictures, and I was see, when I was watching back, I was see on one from the pictures, a sort of monk, and later I was see an face. And I was feel very strong that was the presence of Saint Francis. And,
okay, I mean, just to explain a little further, Robert has a digital camera with him at the time of this feeling, and he just gets compelled to take a picture. And then on the digital picture, and you can see this on bltresearch.com/Robert/Easter2011, is this picture that appeared on digital camera, and you can't fake something on a digital camera, of a being. It says Good Friday 2011, and it's a picture of a face that looks like Saint Francis. So, and then below,
well, nobody knows for certain what yeah. Saint Francis looked like, because of course there were no cameras back then. Mm-hmm. But right. It is an image that could be perhaps, and it certainly does look, if maybe not St. Francis, it definitely looks like a monk, you know, with the hair shaved off around the head. And also, that same night, Robert not only got that face, but a number of other photos with what look like monk-like figures in robes, where faces are not distinct. But from knowing in the past that when Robert gets a clear impression of a particular person or being, usually if he feels the energy to be of a certain person or thing, that is what comes on the camera. So that may very well be what St. Francis really did look like.
It could be. I'm just looking at the picture now, and anyone can look at this if they go to bltresearch.com/Robert/Easter2011. But the features of St. Francis, they're very fine. They're very elegant features. I mean, distinguished in a way.
A little elegant, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. He has a little bit of a mustache or something. So let's say maybe this is St. Francis, maybe it isn't, but what was the communication that this being wanted to tell you, Robert, at this moment?
What his message was?
What was he trying to say to you about the compassion towards animals? Is that like that we need to do that?
Yes, that there is. That's good that you ask me this. Well, this is very important. I think, mm-hmm. Yes, this is very important that people knows this. Yes, that they feel this. The message what I was get was that people must learn to get respect, also for the animals, but also for different sorts of people and different sorts of cultures. You know, many people discriminate each other on this little planet. And lots of people will have contact with aliens from other planets, with life forms from other planets. That's possible maybe in the future. What people must learn first to get respect for all the creatures that living on this little planet. There are so many creatures, you know, and they must have respect for people with a color, with for people with another culture. You know, that's first very important. And people, when the aliens coming in the future to say hello to the big public on this planet, then also people will discriminate them. You know, they have, they look like others, different, and people must get a more growing up adult consciousness that they learn to get respect for all the life forms on this planet. And then they...
What he's saying there, Alan, is that before it makes much sense to expect to meet creatures from some other whole place, we need to have and develop in humanity respect for not only all humans of all different races and colors and whatever, but also respect for the rest of the living things. Once that has been achieved, there would be perhaps then some reason to expect that beings, intelligences, creatures, consciousnesses, whatever, from other places might have a reason to want to interact.
Right. Does he believe, what about eating meat? What do you feel about that, Robert? Should we eat animals? Is that okay? Or is it best not to eat them?
Yes, that's a very interesting discussion. When they are also animals eat sometimes each other, and that's nature. And we have also the humans have some two sharp teeth to eat meat. It's possible that we are so far now that we can create maybe supplements with the same things in it that have need also.
Same nutritional value?
Yes.
But is maybe part of the food chain to eat? I mean, treat them with respect, but, you know, maybe for also to eat some animals as if they're here for that kind of service, but you know, while they're alive, respect them and honor them. And
exactly, that's exactly the point. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. When they living here, and when they have when they was having a good life, and when they are dying, then and they eat, then it's not a problem. Also, not for the soul from the animal, but it's terrible when animals must suffering and have not a life with respect, and then...
Well, I know when something in the kosher, in the Jewish religion, in order for some meat to be kosher, the animal could not have suffered. If the animal suffers, the meat is not considered kosher. You know,
exactly,
and
yes.
That makes good sense to me.
Yeah,
If the animal has suffered, in fact, to eat an animal that has suffered probably is not healthy.
Yeah, because of the fear hormones, all the... the fear,
the
of course, that you're eating.
It would be bound to be affecting its meat, I would think.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. But also that same night, you took some interesting pictures of animals. There's a cat and a bird and a duck.
Yes.
Are these, you feel, sent to you from, let's say this was St. Francis? Is he sending these to you?
Yes, I have a feeling that it is coming out of dimension with love and with peace, and that they sent this image to show the sweetness from the animals and from the humans, that it is very simple to live in love with each other. It can be very simple when we listen to our feelings, you know, and that's also the reason from this romantic image on the picture, I think so. Mm-hmm. It's something symbolic.
Was this the first time?
What was very interesting about this particular series of images, Alan, is that, you know, Robert took these, that first set that you're looking at, on Good Friday.
Right.
Then, on Easter Sunday, in the middle of the night, well, very, very early in the morning, the very first crop circle, that lovely sort of flowery-looking thing, came in a field not far from Robert's house. And that night, he called me, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning his time, I can't remember, but when he'd gotten back from the field, to tell me that there was this new first crop circle. And while he was telling me about it, he also told me about the pictures that had come on his camera on Friday, the one that looked like, you know, a monk and all the little creatures. And he wanted very much for me to see those pictures as we were talking about them on Sunday. And, of course, we couldn't do that because the photos had been on a chip that had been in his camera, and his father had already taken the photos off the chip to put in the file. And Robert didn't have copies of the photos, and his father was asleep, so he couldn't wake him up to, you know, get him to send the pictures to me. And so he did something fairly unusual, because he doesn't usually ever ask specifically, really, for much of anything. And this time, because he wanted so bad for me to see these pictures, he thought to himself, wait a minute, I don't have to wait for my father to wake up. I can just ask if it's possible that these pictures could come again right now on my
camera.
With
a new chip in the camera.
So that I could send them to Nancy.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what he did. He asked if it was possible, and if it was, you know, would the pictures come? And I'll be darned if they didn't come again.
The same exact pictures, Robert?
Yes, yes, yes. With some different creature, remember me that, but the
Chihuahua
same
bunny, which came, had not been on the original shots. That was brand new, and the one of St. Francis did not come on Easter night. Light balls came instead. And then the Chihuahua bunny, which was the last shot that I have in the report, that came, and that had not come on Friday. So it was new on Easter.
Oh, so I see. So the first series on your website is the one that the chip that his father took on Good Friday, and
well,
then
that's the one that Robert took those photos on Good Friday,
but he finally
and
got
I had not seen them, you see.
Oh, I see, and then
he wanted so much for me to see them on Easter that the only way he could think of was to ask, and unbelievably to me, I mean, it's unbelievable that they actually occurred again.
Yeah,
and
that
then,
duck
of course,
looks like the same
that
duck.
Night.
But I mean, that is amazing. But can you or Robert make the bridge to the crop circles and these images? Are they both just phenomena happening, or is there a link somehow? Maybe Robert has a guess about what the connection is.
We know it's connected. We absolutely know from dozens of different things. But you go ahead and tell them, Robert.
Yes, yes. I know that when I know that I connected with the collective mind and with other dimensions and with a pure with the consciousness that's coming after the death, and this consciousness is coming by the most people when the body is dead and you're coming in other levels. This consciousness try through me to get a relation with the people they living on Earth. And you must see that how you will call it, God of the white light, have me in his hands, and I'm a sort of arrow. I don't know if I say good and arrow and
a bridge, connection. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And he shoot me in the window the collective think window from the collective consciousness from the people, and that create a hole in it that people meet in phenomenals and in some miracle things, this consciousness, this phenomenals, the crop circles, the pictures, the contact with dead people, and the healing things that open the soul from people, that they see that there is really something powerful going on and something positive. And then they get hungry, they're starting very hungry to get this consciousness. They meet also this love. It is not only the phenomenal that's interesting and the effects that's interesting, but more important, the consciousness that's going through the phenomenals and will hit the people in a positive way and let them grow to a more adult consciousness. Mm-hmm. And by the most people, is this consciousness coming after the death. But now we're living in a time that this consciousness is coming before the death. And that will say
is that there's an opportunity here for people to experience the love of the Almighty, the Source, the Light, whatever you want to call it, that it is possible to experience that love now. We don't have to wait until we're dead to have an experience of it. And that part of what Robert is here to do is to try to make it possible through the photographs, through the crop circles that happen around him, and many other things, readings, healings, to help people get their eyes open so that they can begin to feel this. A perfect example of this was the next thing I think I put on your list, which was the video clip that we have now put on the eyewitness page. It's the bottom report on Robert's page, where you see the tubes of light making the crop circle out in the field, because you asked earlier about the consciousness and the crop circles and what was the connection.
Well, what's that called? If I go to bltresearch.com.
Go to Robert's page.
Yeah, that's /Robert, yeah.
Correct, and just scroll down to the bottom of his page where all the different reports are.
Right, I see August 2001, that one.
And you see one with a tube of light shooting down the middle?
Yes, it's a drawing, though, yes.
Yeah, open that up, hit that, that'll open the report. Now,
okay.
You'll see, just below the just at the very beginning of the page,
yes,
there's a video clip that we've added, because I did a TV show about this, what's important is that you asked about the connection between the energies around Robert and crop circles.
Yes.
And this is
yes.
a perfect illustration. Robert and I had been out in the fields for a couple of weeks doing geomagnetometer and electromagnetometer work for Dr. William Roll that summer.
Uh-huh.
And we had been going to the crop circles that were already in the fields, and we'd been all over that field out behind his house, looking at these measurements, seeing if we could find any geological reason, any variations that might explain why the circles were going in certain places. And we had done a lot of work, and it was very hot that summer, and I was exhausted from going out on the bicycle and taking the equipment and going into the fields and climbing up the dikes and all this stuff, and we got nothing. For day after day after day after day, there were no changes, no basic variations. And so I was very disappointed and pretty disgusted, really. And towards the end of my stay that year, we came back one night, and Robert wanted to go back out into the crop circles because we like to take pictures, and he likes to take pictures in them when the circles are new particularly. But I was so, I don't know, discouraged, I guess is the right word. And I was also tired. And I said, no, this, phenomenon is too hard to study. It's too difficult. Why can't it be more direct? I'm going up to bed. And I marched myself up those stairs, and I was that at that time I was staying in Robert's room, and his room has these floor-to-ceiling glass doors that open out onto a small balcony, and it overlooks a little backyard and then farm fields right behind the house. And those doors were wide open because it was hot. And I got into bed. I was going to read for a little bit before I went to sleep. And I heard the cattle bawling down the road, and I knew something was up because I talked to lots of farmers and lots of owners of properties on where crop circles happen. And they always tell me if they have cattle or horses or dogs, even cats, that the animals will go crazy when a crop circle is getting ready to happen. And I thought, well, gee, maybe I should get up and go stand on that balcony and I'll see everything. And for some reason, I didn't do it. And the cattle got quiet. And then I kept reading for a few minutes. And then they started again, and they were really making noise. And I knew something was getting ready to happen. And before I could get up, suddenly there came this brilliant tube of light crashing down to the earth. I mean, damn.
You saw the tube of light, Nancy?
I absolutely saw the tube of light.
Okay.
And it lit up the bedroom like I was on Broadway. It lit up the field so I could see all the way across this, you know, half of a mile long field and the houses and the barns on the other side. It didn't make a sound, not a sound, and it was gone in a second or two.
So it was only there for a second. It lit up the field for a second and was gone.
About a second or two.
Okay.
And then it goes out, and it's dead quiet, and I'm thinking, did I really see that? And another second or so passes, and then boom, another one comes crashing down in basically the same place, and the room lights up again like I'm on Broadway. And the field lights up so you can see all the way across it. And by now, I was thinking Robert had been, he was down in the kitchen. And the kitchen windows face out in, toward the back, the same way as my little balcony doors. And so, of course, I was wondering if he was seeing the whole thing. So I started yelling for him. And by this time, he was yelling for me. And he had started up the stairs when a third tube of light came, boom, right down in the same place with the same thing. Everything lighting up like, you know, broad daylight and then some. And the two of us, you know, he saw
that's
it
okay.
from the
it's
kitchen
just
window.
Sound effects
I
in
saw
New
it
York
from
City.
Upstairs. We went running to the doors and looked up to see outside, you know, what this, where these lights had come from. And there was absolutely nothing up there. I mean, nothing visible. Am I telling the truth, Robert?
No.
Absolutely. And
but what does that have to do with the photographs? I mean, I think what
well,
I get is
think about it for
a
minute, Alan.
Yeah.
I had just said this phenomenon is too hard to study. Why can't it be more direct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, within 15 minutes of my having said that, a brand new crop circle forms as close as it can get to my bed. I mean, it was the closest crop it could possibly have gotten, and I didn't even have to get out of bed to see it.
Well, you're one of the few eyewitnesses to this phenomena that's had, you know, thousands of formations around the planet, which is valuable. But what's interesting about Robert is that he somehow draws this phenomena to him. Like he says, he is a sort of a messenger from another dimension. And
he's a medium through which.
But it's different than the
other. This other consciousness.
Yeah, he's more than a medium. I mean, mediums, I feel, have that kind of old connotation. Robert is a bringer of a new dawn.
Maybe he is.
What's that?
Maybe he is. We try not to make assumptions at all about, I mean, in Holland, he's called a medium.
Right.
He thinks of himself basically as a medium, a vessel through which this consciousness can operate, and it can do many things. It's not just crop circles it can make. It can do all kinds of things. It helps.
But what I'm interested in is what he said before, like originally only people who have died can pass through this peace, and now it's not just for people who died, it's for everyone now. So that implies that the consciousness of the planet is shifting, it's changing, it's uplifting. This is part of why I feel Robert's here. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that, Robert, this, because you are getting the signs to show the world, but you are also in touch with the changing energies. Please talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, exactly. It is the consciousness is it's I call people call me a medium, and I use the word medium, but it's the consciousness. What's coming through me? It's bigger than the word medium. I know that, and that's very very big. Sometimes I feel that my body is too small for it. It's possible that it is coming through me, and I feel that the relation is so good with the other side that it is working. And I'm very happy that Nancy have tell from the crop circle that we have seen that was forming. She was witness with me that crop circle was forming, and that's very important. On the other day, the same night, the crop circle was there. This we have seen both that the crop circle was forming, and that's I'm happy with it. That is more proofful for people. You know, you have many skeptical people, and they think that I'm a liar and that I'm have too much fantasy. Because I'm happy, and also a good friend
Robert
of me
has seen dozens of circles form, Alan.
I don't think we even have to go there.
I was with him, but he has seen many form over the years.
No, I present this program because I believe that Robert is who he is, and there's enough people like trying to tear it down. You need a forum that will promote this because it's important work. Yes.
And yes. Yes.
Going on,
I will.
What's going on around him, Alan, is not important. Then nothing is important.
Right. No. But tell us about this change, because you are tapped into something as a medium, as whatever you want to call it. You're tapped into a shift in vibration, Robert. Something big is happening to planet Earth.
Yes, of course. I will tell that. It's very important that people must know that it is not far away from them. It is in it. This consciousness can be in themselves. I am a sort of mirror that people see where the connection is, and when I help people, when I give them an healing, then they can also meet this consciousness. Well, when what's going on? That this consciousness will have a relation with people and will open the eyes from people, and will also give people the insight what's real. And this power is so strong that when people connect with it, it's very beautiful. But it's also in the begin very difficult. What the power is so powerful that everything that's not truthful on you, that they destroy it, and everything that's good in you and that's truthful, that's growing, and that can be a painful process in the beginning. It's a real process, and it's a real consciousness what you're meeting on that moment, and when you going through it, you meet the real love, the love that's real, and you meet you see you get insights on that moment that people see how perfect the body is. Every organ is matched with each other and the universe, the whole nature. And then you see that it is a creation, an enormous creation, that there is a big willpower that makes happen that the molecules found each other and that there is coming so beautiful creation out. The same with animals. But when you're watching to your eyes, to your organs, how perfect that is. Mm. When people have an IQ above the 20, they must realize that there is some enormous consciousness.
An IQ above the 20, they must realize.
Many people don't see it.
Talks about the difficulty when you're beginning to open yourself to this. It's part of this work that you do has to be alone. You have to do it by yourself. Nobody can do it for you. Robert or other people might be able to help you from time to time to give you energy again, to give you inspiration again, but the actual doing of it, the taking responsibility for your life, opening yourself to the how much larger reality is than most people know, that work you have to do by yourself. And it's very lonely.
I agree. I also feel that there's a shift coming to the planet right now, that there's more light entering the planet, which is activating more of our brain, which is opening us up to new realities, which is why I call the program New Realities, because I feel there is a shift. We're getting more help now, and people like Robert and others are here to assist in this change. Do you get anything about 2012? I think we talked about this before. Is that just a symbolic change, or is there actually something to the end date of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012? What do you think, Robert?
Yeah, I think that we're living now on this moment in a very important time, in a special time, and that we're living in a time that many things change, and also in the collective consciousness from people. We're living in a mystical revolution. Many people standing up now, and the individual from the persons are stronger now and more truthful, and people meet the spiritual more as a reality close by them. And the most beauty life is coming after the death, of course, but we can have this consciousness, this love consciousness, light consciousness. We can have this also on this planet, and that is coming. And 2012 is for me, for my feeling, something symbolic, that we going to some time that things change. Mm-hmm. I think that people must not be afraid that the earth is destroyed and I don't feel that. Of course they are disasters, but when you predict disasters, when you was predict disasters 2 years ago, 10 years ago, then you was right. And when you predicted now, you are also right. They are all the time disasters, and sometimes they are more. But people must not afraid that this planet that there is something terrible happening.
The big thing is also aliens. But anyway, sorry to interrupt. You said you feel what?
No, I feel that there is coming more more growing up. Adult consciousness. You know, we have the evolutions.
I think the shift is coming, Alan, which will allow more people to grow up, take responsibility, recognize this magnificence that he feels so frequently, and that disaster is not. Although disasters do, of course, happen all the time, and they are happening now also, he doesn't feel that the planet that life as we know it generally is suddenly going to change or disappear.
I agree, but do you feel an alien presence or an extraterrestrial, let's say, presence will be more a part of our Earth reality?
Yes, I feel also very strong. I feel, and that's also the reason that this power through me will have a relation with people. When you watch to the stars, they are, and now scientists, they are sure about that there are billions of planets with life, eco-planets with life. They are billion planets of life. And I'm sure about that aliens are in us solar system, that they are here. And I'm sure about that I feel them also around me, and I know that they are there. But coming back now on the message that I was get, people must first learn to create respect for all the life forms on this planet. And right. Then the entities from other planets of intergalactic life forms can come in closer. And now the aliens have only contact with a very small couple of people. It's maybe a big group when you meet each other, but it's they don't show themselves now for the big public, but they are there. I know that they are around us. Mm-hmm. And when people are more growing up, of course the aliens can come in also, but the aliens show so lots of respect to the people. When they will, you know, they are technologic so far, they can show themselves in 1 second. But they don't do that, you know. They have respect for the free will from the life forms on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure.
What's their connection to the crop circle? Are the aliens giving us these signs in the fields?
It's very close. It's working very close with each other. Yes, it's working very close with each other. When you are what people call, when you are in heaven, you can going in time holes, and you can go also to other solar system, star systems, and other planets. Mm-hmm. And they coming also, they can time traveling, and they working. They are the police of God. The aliens will help people to see that there is that there are more important things going on than only working and make money. And
Robert, I want yes. you to tell Alan something. He would enjoy hearing this before we get to the Virginia situation.
Oh yes.
Years ago, Robert has had a number of encounters with various looking beings, different kinds of beings that look different. And he has photographed quite a few of them, and one of these days a lot of those photos will be coming out so people can see them. But there is one photo that he did put out years ago with after a very interesting situation. He was up late one night. This has got to be, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, Robert? You were in your
yes.
early 20s, and he was up at night in the living room, and this white smoky stuff that if you read through these reports that I've posted on Robert's page, you will see many, many, many photos of this white smoky stuff, and it's not smoke. It's not cigarette smoke. And when that night he felt a presence, he observed this white smoky stuff with his eyes, and then over an hour, he took photos. Tell Alan about that night, Robert.
Yes, please.
Yes, yes, yes. It was very interesting. I was, that was the first time that I was, get the image on my camera. I was having very, it was in 2004, and I was having a very strong feeling that there was something going on in the room. and I was hearing a very high noise in my head, and also in the room, looked like if there was bugs in the room. And I was take my camera, and I was see in a chair was standing in a green chair, and I was see that there was some sort of mist or some cloud of mist was there, and I was making pictures, and there was coming a sort of mist on the camera, and later the mist was forming in a real creature. When I was watching back, I was discovered that. And,
it was an ET, actually, a typical ET, right?
Yes, yes, exactly, yes.
Is that on the website,
Ben? Except that this particular creature, Alan, it had a long, thin neck, a long, thin face, not the wide face that you see on the standard sort of depictions. Mm-hmm. And Robert told me that as he sat there, he took many, many photos during this. A little over an hour it took for this thing to become fully formed, I guess you would say. And
yes.
I'll never forget when he told me about it afterward. He said that there was some kind of telepathic communication, one part of which Robert said that the creature either intimated or actually stated, I can't remember, that they were making the crop circles. But the most important thing to me was Robert's noticing that when the creature leaned toward Robert, when he leaned over a little bit in the chair, Robert said he could see the wrinkles in its stomach.
Yes.
If you were to lean over or I were.
Right. Are those pictures on the website, Nancy, those ET pictures?
No, Robert did release the one photo in which the creature is entirely there. Mm-hmm. We are working on some things to put out that we haven't yet put out. And one of the things that I want to do is to get that whole series, every single shot, beginning with the first minute, you know, because you see, I've seen the pictures, but I just don't have them all. And
right.
What you see is that the creature is slowly forming, and sometimes it comes almost into full view, then it dissipates a little bit, then it comes back, and if you were to see the entire sequence, I think there must be 20, 30 photographs.
Mm-hmm.
It's terribly interesting. It ends up with the being very solid looking, sitting right in the chair, and apparently Robert and it having as a telepathic interaction. You did have some interaction with it, didn't you, Robert? Telepathically.
Well, yes, exactly.
You know, I think they're incredible photos. I have seen one of them briefly of this definite ET-looking type being. One thing I want to ask about, the crop circles in Holland don't seem to be as sophisticated or as geometrically patterned as the ones that appeared in England. At least these 2011 Holland crop circles do not have...
Because an awful lot of them in England are man-made deer.
That's
a lot of your problem. Before we end... We want very much to, I want very much, if you'll let me, because this just tickles me.
Okay.
Robert did something recently which is just wonderful, I think. He has had many circles in grass, as you can see, this year. In the spring, they're always in grass anyhow in Holland. And it happened that I got an email a couple weeks ago from a man I don't know in Virginia. And he was reporting to BLT a new crop circle. And I emailed him back with a bunch of questions because he hadn't told me very much. And then, since I was in the process of emailing to Robert about something else altogether, I attached the one picture the man had sent me because I thought Robert might think it was interesting to see a crop circle in grass in the United States, since he had so many in Holland. I wasn't thinking anything else. It never occurred to me to ask him to judge the crop circle. And I sent it off, and 2 minutes later the phone rang, and it was Robert, And he said, watch out, that one's man-made. Yeah. And I asked him, what do you mean? And he's never been out of Holland. He's never been to the States. He doesn't even know where Virginia is. And he immediately said, well, I see a teenage boy with blondish-brownish hair down the back of his neck. What he meant was like in a ponytail. Mm-hmm. I see a black baseball cap. He's the local boy who delivers papers, and his name is Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is all pretty precise information, so I was writing frantically to get all the details down. I then, once I had them all, I emailed the man who had first told me about the circle. And mm-hmm. I said, by any chance, is there a teenage boy with brownish hair down the back of his neck who usually wears a black baseball cap, who is your paper boy, and whose name is Mike?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy nearly fell off his chair, apparently, because, you know, of course, you know, the guy's paper boy is this teenage guy who has the brown hair down the back of his neck, wears a black baseball cap, and did, after this, actually admit to having made the circle, and then, in fact, demonstrated how he had done it. We've got those pictures and that whole report up now on Robert's page on the BLT website.
Yeah, if you go to BLTResearch.com, you right on the home page, you can see right at the top, Dutch medium sees American boy making Virginia crop circle. But, you know, I think that just goes along with the skills that Robert has as a medium, as a clairvoyant, as someone who's really seeing a bigger picture. So that's a cute story, but I think the real gift of Robert is,
Alan,
this
for
gift of love.
Who don't believe in all of this, it's a very useful example, because Robert literally, he doesn't read or write English. He's never been out of Holland. I don't know the people that reported this circle. There's absolutely no way that the debunker types can undo this, which is what I liked about it.
No, I think it's great, but it's just, the natural gifts that someone like Robert has to tune in and feel the energies. I guess people can read all about that on the BLTResearch.com website. I think the great gift Robert has is his ability to bring this level of love and compassion and feeling to the people he meets and talks to. And I would just love to hear a little bit more from Robert before we have to sign off about what you feel is coming to the planet, Robert, and how we can start to attune ourselves to that higher frequency.
Yes, it's only what people must do is listen to them intuition and it's very quiet, man. You can train it. It's most all the time the first thing that's coming up in your mind that say something. When you see somebody and there is coming something quick in your head, most all the time that's real. When you think on somebody and the telephone is wrinkling and that's that person. Well, it's very important that people must create respect for each other, to let live each other, to have respect, to don't say bad things about each other. Let everybody live how they will live. And when people can do that, then we can have also peace, and then it's much easier to live here. And when we can create it, I'm sure that the aliens will come then and say welcome, and that we can say very friendly welcome. And I'm sure when people will starting a war with nuclear weapons, then the aliens coming and they knocked it down. I'm sure about it. I feel that. That's
something that has happened in the past that has been stopped by our alien brothers. And
yes, absolutely. And they do that. And that's the love that they have. They will not let this planet is destroying. They will helping, and I feel also very strong. I get also very strong visions that now in maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years, then maybe the NASA or maybe the telescopes, radio telescopes, or maybe the satellites picked some signal, and that's pure scientific, picked some signal.
Signal.
Okay. Signal. Yes, the regular radio telescopes from NASA, from NASA in space, or from some space company, they picked some signal, and the signal is intelligent. It is some sort of language that they picked, and that's coming from Pegasus, from out the star sign Pegasus, and I'm sure that it will be happening in maybe 4, 5, 6 years. And then we heard it in the newspapers that they have picked some intelligent signal from out from out Pegasus, from a planet out that star sign.
Mm-hmm. Anything about
the Pegasus, right?
Vegas, star system Vegas. But
No, Alan. He did not say Vegas. He said Pegasus.
Pegasus.
That's what he said.
Oh, Pegasus. Okay, thank you, Nance.
I predict that. I predict it, and people should see that it is coming out.
Anything about the comet that's supposed to be in the skies in October, the Elenard comet that was discovered by the Russian scientists, is that anything we should think about, or is it really a ship, or is it just a harmless comet?
This is that same question, Robert, that was raised about after one of the crop circles, the idea that there is a comet, there's no question of that, but there are some people who think it is not a comet, but a rogue star, or some sort of a brown dwarf, and that there's going to be disaster here on Earth when it comes close. That's what you're asking about, right, Alan?
Yeah, I was wondering if he got anything about that. Okay, we do have to wrap up. I'm just getting the signal. But just any final words about that, Robert, if you tune in?
No, I don't feel something special about it.
Okay, I trust that. Nancy, do you have any final words about – and thank you
Only
so much.
Thank you so much for your interest, Alan, and for providing the opportunity. Thank you, babe.
And thank you for bringing Robert out to the world. This is a resource that is so important. Thank you, Robert, for just trusting yourself.
Yeah, and thank you that you will take me serious. And I will say sorry that my English is not so good. I hope that
it's actually much better than it's been. Thank you. Of course I take you seriously. I'm looking for people like you who have a special message, and that's what this program's about. And thank you both. I've been talking to Nancy Talbert, BLTResearch.com, and Robert Vandenbroek in Holland at this moment, who's really one of the top intuitive healers, mediums on the planet. He really has a lot to share with people. Go to Nancy Talbert's page on BLT Research and find out more about Robert there. This is New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. And if you have any questions, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net and check my website, newrealities.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Robert and Nancy.
Waking up in the middle of the day feels like a dream.
This is green fire.
Not my favorite time. Waking up in the middle of my life, nothing's what it seems. I feel the fire. Come alive.